1 Corinthians 5, 6, 7, and 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Notice verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Notice verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Leaven is poison. God says a little leaven or a little poison, always in the Word of God, it's evil. It's false doctrine. And we're talking about versions tonight. 14 doctrinal deviations, 14 incidents, and 14 evidences of leaven in these new versions and perversions. And God's answer is found in verse 7. We're to purge out that old leaven. Just clean it right out, because we're a new lump. Even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. We ought to keep the feast not with the old leaven, not with the old poison, not with the old errors, not with the old false doctrine of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what we have in God's Word, the King James Bible. That's sincerity, and it's truth, and it's the only one that is truth. Now you notice, as I say in my outline there, the so-called modern versions are loaded with leaven. Loaded with leaven. Pastor Fowler's or Mr. Fowler's book out there has some 8,000 different instances, changes, modifications, loaded with leaven. And the time that we have before us, I'd like to suggest a total of 14 doctrines that are found in a total of 39 verses, omitted or changed or falsified, either by the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the Revised Standard Version, or the Vatican V, or the Sinai Aleph manuscripts, any one of those. And we want to show you that the doctrines are there, and they're not there. They're omitted. They're changed. There's something wrong with these various versions. In his book on the truth about the King James controversy, Dr. Stuart Custer of Bob Jones University wrote concerning this matter. He says, there's not a single doctrine found in the King James Version that is not also found in the New American Standard Bible. There may be differences in the wording of some verses, but there's not a single doctrine that is missing. That's Dr. Custer. Now, missing where? Missing anywhere at all? Or missing in any place particularly? If he means not missing at all, I'm not interested in the Bible where they finally got it somewhere in that Bible. I'm not interested in the Bible that leaves it out anywhere. Any doctrine ought to be in full, the same as it is in the King James Bible, or I don't want any part of that Bible. That's a leaven-laden Bible. That's a leaven-loaded Bible. Loaded with leaven, loaded with poison. And I'd like to prove that Dr. Custer's wrong tonight as far as the idea that really doctrine is not involved. Doctrine is not involved. Now, there are many changes, many errors, many different things we could talk about today. I want to limit to the doctrine. Notice, also we say here, in this book, the King James Version Debate, The Plea for Realism, Dr. D.A. Carson, the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, wrote on page 62, thesis number 9. Now, as you know, he's got 14 theses. D.A. Carson, he claims he can't be answered. Listen, every one of those 14 theses that Carson has in his book can be answered, have been answered, and this is thesis number 9. We're going to answer that a little bit tonight. It's just one out of the 14. Every one of them is just as easy as number 9. Just because he's got more publicity than we have, there's no sign that he can necessarily come out in the lead on that. Page 62, thesis 9. The charge that the non-Byzantine text types are theologically aberrant is fallacious. The charge that the non-Byzantine text types, that's B and Aleph, that's B-A-L, that's the Baal manuscripts, I call them the Baal manuscripts, the B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai. To say that the non-Byzantine text are theologically aberrant is fallacious. Now, let's wait a minute. He says a great deal of the heat with which this question is discussed is generated by the conviction of most defenders of the TR that the non-Byzantine texts are theological aberrant or flawful or filled with error. Of course, I'm on page 2 now, if their charge can be substantiated, that settles the issue. On page 63. what we discover in practice is that most changes or omissions or additions, depending on the point of view, are quite trivial and wholly devoid of theological significance. That's from Donald MacLeod, The Bible and Textual Criticism, Banner of Truth. Now, page 65. In brief, I am arguing that all the textual traditions are orthodox, not least in the sense that all of them teach the doctrines that the defenders of the KJV construe as the ingredients of orthodoxy. Mrs. Carson, pages 62 to 65. Now, does he mean that they teach somewhere, if you find it somewhere in those verses? Or does it mean that teaches it in every part, in every verse where it ought to apply? See, that's the issue right there. I know people say, well, you may not find it in this particular verse or this particular word, but it's somewhere in those versions. Aren't you being hypercritical of these new versions saying that doctrinal deviations? No. Let's take a look at the 14 doctrinal deviations, the new versions, NASV, NIV, RSV, and the Westcott and Hort text. I find 14 doctrines having to do with my Lord Jesus Christ, which is the most important doctrine of any. Christology is top, aside and apart, and next to bibliology, which is the doctrine of the Bible. That's first. Without a Bible, you know nothing of Christ. So bibliology must be first. Is all of our doctrines of the Bible, the studies about Brother Paul Fedena spoke of the Bible tonight. Tremendous message on the Word of God. That's first. If we don't have that straight, the Lord Jesus Christ is a non-entity. We don't even know Him except through His Word. So bibliology first, Christology second, in my judgment. The Lord Jesus in His deity. The Lord Jesus His title. The Lord Jesus in His virgin birth. The Lord Jesus in His omnipresence. The Lord Jesus in His eternal future. The Lord Jesus in His eternal, His part in creation. The Lord Jesus in His bodily resurrection, in salvation, creation, in salvation, in resurrection. The Lord Jesus in His bodily ascension. The Lord Jesus Christ in His great commission. The Lord Jesus in His forgiveness of an adulteress. The Lord Jesus in His teaching in hellfire. The Lord Jesus in His use of the Word of God. And 14, the Lord Jesus in His reference to Old Testament prophecy. Let's go through these now and see 14 doctrinal deviations in these new versions. Now, I put in brackets where they've changed or omitted or left out or added something to these doctrines. Take a look, first of all, at the Lord Jesus Christ, His deity. Luke 23:42, and I can go very quickly because you have it for you. I won't have to stop and let you look it up if you want to follow along. Remember, it's the thief on the cross who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Westcott and Hort leaves out Lord. So does the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the New International Version. They don't want the deity of Christ. Lord, Master, God, the Lord Jesus was God-man. Perfect God, perfect man. Deity is omitted. That title is significant. Verse number 2, Acts 8:37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Omitted in Westcott and Hort, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, and New International Version. Again, is that not a teaching on the deity of Christ? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's His deity, isn't it? Is the doctrine of the deity of Christ omitted in these versions? Yes, it is. There's two verses on it. A third verse, Acts 9:5-6. And the Lord said, omitted by these versions, the Lord said in brackets, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Then omitted also, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, that's all omitted. All those underlying words are omitted. Wilt thou have, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, three times, the Lord said, the Lord, and the Lord. The deity of Christ, the title of the Lord Jesus Christ as to His deity is eliminated from Westcott and Hort text, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard Version, New International Version. That's the third scripture verse. The doctrine of the deity of Christ is omitted. Notice the fourth, 1 Corinthians 15:47. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Westcott and Hort omits the Lord, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, New International Version. The first man is the earthly, that's Adam. The second man, they just say, is from heaven. Taking out his deity.
not just from heaven, but the Lord from heaven. The heretics that concocted the Vatican manuscript and the Sinai manuscript, these Egyptian, heretical, deviated, apostate manuscripts that are the very bedrock and basis of the West God North text, eliminate again the deity of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord from heaven. Number five, verse number five on the deity of Christ is 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. They take that. That's the word God right out of it. He who was manifest in the flesh, he appeared in the body. West God and Hort do it. Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, New International Version. These all eliminate the fact that it was God. Theos, the Greek word. Not simply hos, which is he who or ha, but God manifest in the flesh. Many strong verses, many strong evidences on that reading, as in all these other instances as well. The second doctrine that we see eliminated in these versions, not only is the Lord Jesus Christ his deity, but there are two verses that have to do with the Lord Jesus and his titles. 1 John 1:7 is one, and the blood of Jesus Christ, that's omitted, that word Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. West God and Hort leave it out. Revised Standard Version leaves it out. New American Standard Version, New International Version. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7 says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad Brother Fadana mentioned John MacArthur on this platform here. We're a one-issue organization, but we're talking about this issue. And the blood of Christ is in this verse. We're talking about the Lordship of Christ and the title of Christ. So let me just push a little bit on John MacArthur like Brother Fadana did, if you don't mind. He has two encroaching heresies concerning the blood of Christ. He says they're heresies. We've got his tape that he sent from his office. When I leave here, Lord willing, and tomorrow night in Mattoon, Illinois, I'm going to preach on the blood of Christ and MacArthur's heresies on it. I'm going to do the same on Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Four messages answering the tapes of John MacArthur, and his heresy continues. He sends this tape out saying, here's all my messages, 1969 to 1987. Here's those snatches of what I've taught on the blood. He's off the haywire, and practically every last one of them. But one of the things he says, the heresy is, this idea that the blood of Christ can cleanse from sin. That's heresy. That the literal blood, the actual one, can cleanse from sin. Heresy. He says the second encroaching heresy is that the blood is divine. But it says in Acts 20:28, does it not? Feed the church of God, which he, that is God, hath purchased with his own, that is God's own, blood. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Divine. He said that's an encroaching heresy. And yet we know he's the holy Son of God. And his blood was incorruptible, and his flesh did not see corruption. And we know that blood is incorruptible because of 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Not with corruptible things, with the precious blood of Christ. But here, another thing that MacArthur says is that Christ was not divine. His blood, rather, was not divine. It was simply human blood. He says Jesus Christ is 100% human. Watch it, John. Layman listening to that statement without any additional statement. He's made this over and over in his tapes. They got it. 100% human. Where's his deity? I know MacArthur believes in his deity. But why is he saying he's 100% human? What is 100 per 100? There's no room for anything else. Am I right? We say he's perfect God and perfect man. Now, we don't say 100% and 100%. We say perfect and perfect. He's so intent in denying a doctrine that he once held, that the blood of Jesus Christ was sacred, that he's saying now that's an encroaching heresy. And he's human, 100% human. He says he has human blood. He got the blood from Mary, his mother. All of which is heresy, 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 and unmedical. It's medically fallacious. We have a letter from Duke University on the blood of the mother and the blood of the infant. Under normal circumstances, never the twain shall mix. Separate mother's blood, separate infant's blood. That's what Dr. Jahan wrote years ago in the chemistry of the blood, and everybody battered and tore and knocked him in the head about it. It's still true today, medically true. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not have human blood. He had the blood of God. He had divine blood, sacred blood, or that blood would never atone for anyone's sins, anyone misremembered. And if MacArthur believes that Jesus Christ had human blood, he's lost. because it cannot atone for his sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It says, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from sin. Now, Jesus in here, eliminating Christ, the title. Let me get back to my text. 1 John 1:7. Don't want to get carried away. That's tomorrow night. I'll get carried away tomorrow night, believe me. If you want to get those tapes, I'm interested to see what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say something. We'll answer it point by point. The brother, you know, this is the third summer, I think, he's had us to come to his church, Mattoon, Illinois, Brother Virgil Baker. He must like me. I don't know why he comes back three times in a row of the summers. And normally he says we could preach on, speak to our people on this theme and this theme. And he has about 15 themes. Boy, it makes me study up a storm. This time, he either made the mistake or whatever, saying, as the Lord will lead you. Well, I'm going to preach in the blood of Christ. That's what I'm going to preach. So he's got I didn't even tell him what I was going to preach on. But when the verse here says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, that could very well mean the human blood of Jesus. That's all. This human, see? But he's not just simply Jesus. It means Savior. It's a good term. We believe it. But it's Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The anointed one of God. The Messiah, you see. And his title is omitted. Let me hurry along. I don't want to get to meddling or preaching either one too much. But 1 John 4:3, his title, and every spirit that confesses not to Jesus, now here again, Christ is omitted, is come in the flesh. All that's eliminated. That's just every spirit that confesses not to Jesus, Jesus, in other words, doesn't confess Jesus, is not of God. Westcott and Hort, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, and then New International Version omit that. But here again, Christ, come in the flesh. The Gnostics would have a great thing about that, and all these other heretics of the day when John lived. And these are the people that deny the deity of Christ. So the title, this is a doctrine that's eliminated in this verse, in these versions. That's all I'm saying. But that's all I need to say. If you give it, it's just eliminated in any verse. I don't want people to come to me and they say, well, but you know, Dr. Custer may say, well, but in these other portions of the New American Standard, the New International Version, RSV, he's called Christ. All right, what are they doing here in this verse? Look at the third doctrine. Omitted or changed. Doctrinal deviations in these new versions is verse in verse. An important doctrine, two verses on that, Luke 2:33. And Joseph and his mother, that's what our Bible says, marveled at those things. Westcott and Hort doesn't have that, or the Revised Standard, or the New American Version, or New American Standard, or the New International Version. It has his father and his mother marveled at those things, calling Jesus having a father and a mother. Is the virgin birth fully treated here? Is it questioned? Is it possibly denied? Did he have a human father? According to the Westcott and Hort text, he had a human father. He had a father. But that the father was the heavenly father. That's the answer to it. You get the difference? They say his father and his mother. The Bible says Joseph and his mother. There's a difference. Same in Luke 2:43. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Westcott and Hort, RSC, New American Standard, and New International Version, don't say Joseph and his mother, they say his parents. Again, you could skip over the virgin birth of Christ just at the snap of the finger. His parents, seemingly mother and father, human parents. Doctrinal deviation in the new versions. Deviation number 3 is this virgin birth. Deviation number 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is omnipresence. One verse on that, John 3:13. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, the clause which is in heaven, eliminated by all four, Westcott and Hort, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, New International Version, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now the Bible teaches the omnipresence of Christ. Everywhere present. No matter whether he was here, whether he's on earth, whether he's up in glory, as to his deity, he was omnipresent. Regardless of whether he was here, and the skeptics and the critics and the unbelievers and the apostates were bound and determined to take away this clause which is in heaven. It assaults their naturalistic reason. But this is a matter of faith. It's a matter of doctrine. The omniscience of Christ was not given up by his kenosis, any more than his deity was given up by his kenosis, or any other attribute of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That doctrinal deviation is taught, by the way, that he gave up all but love. In John Wesley, or Charles Wesley, whichever him, he left his home above, you remember, and he gave up all but love. what's the name of that hymn? Anybody know the name of that, Mrs. Holloway? I can think of the tune and all, but that's one of the clauses in there. He left, he gave up all but love. No, that's exactly a fallacious doctrine, false doctrine. I don't know how John or Charles, whoever the Wesley, one of the Wesley brothers wrote it. And we sing it in that church. I hope you'll miss that particular verse or change it somehow. But he didn't give up anything, any of his attributes. Still deity, still omnipresent, still omnipotent. He gave the voluntary disuse of his attributes, voluntary disuse of his attributes for his own personal benefit. Voluntary disuse of his attributes for his own personal benefit. Turn these stones into blood, and excuse me, into bread. Turn these stones into bread. Satan said, not for his own individual benefit, no. He had the power to do it. He didn't do it. The voluntary disuse of the Lord Jesus' divine attributes for his own particular bodily needs or benefits. But he didn't give up his omnipresence any more than any other attributes that our Savior had. And by the way, that's another heresy that is taught by one of the Brown brothers, Ken Brown. He's got this idea that Christ gave up his omniscience. Now we're talking omnipresence here, but let's get into omniscience. He says Christ didn't know, because it says in one verse of the Bible that he didn't know the day or the hour and so on. So therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have omniscience. He gave that up when he became man. And he's got a false view. Ken Brown does. He taught in our Baptist Bible college, the seminary when it was called, years ago, many years, not only taught the false Greek doctrines and the Greek text, but he also taught the false doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and his omniscience. But I'm on omnipresence. I shouldn't get off on omniscience, excuse me, but it's a deity and all of his attributes, and which is in heaven, is a slur and a deviation from that doctrine. Doctrine number 5, deviated from the Lord Jesus Christ, is an eternal future. Look at Revelation 5:14. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever is out of Westcott and Hort. It's out of the Revised Standard Version, NASB, New International Version. Here is the eternality in the future, him that liveth forever and ever. They just fell down and worshiped. That's all those fellows had. I don't want a holy Bible with whole, that type of a holy Bible. I want a holy Bible spelled with an H-O-L-Y. I don't want the Bible like Dr. Golden's got with all the eaten out places and so on and so forth, the termite Bible. And I want him that liveth forever and ever right there. Notice the 12th verse, talking about doctrinal deviation, again, in his eternality future. Saying, we give thanks unto thee, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. Here again, his eternal future, though it speaks of our Lord God Almighty, I think it's a reference to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he not only is, not only was, but he is to come. And art to come is out. His eternal future. This is doctrine. And don't let anybody say they take and don't touch doctrine in these versions. They do. And this is a doctrine that they touch. A sixth doctrinal deviation in these versions, the Lord Jesus Christ, his part in creation. The 13th scripture is Ephesians 3:9. Then hidden God who created all things, period. That's all the Westcott and Hort text says, and the Revised Standard Version, and the New American Standard, and the New International Version, created all things by Jesus Christ. He was the creator. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. And also, by him was everything made. Not anything was made, let's see, how's that? John 1:3. In the beginning was the Word. I got to start there, I guess. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. That's later, but in the beginning was the Word. Let me just go like that. And the Word became, the Lord dwelt amongst you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, I get to verse 3, were made by him. The Word is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was not anything made that was made. That includes the Word of God, doesn't it? He made that. Old and New Testament alike. Old Testament and the things that he was going to bring to mind to the disciples even in the New Testament. All things made by him. And they leave out the Creator of our Savior's part in creation in Ephesians 3:9. The seventh doctrine, touched by these versions, the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation only through him. Number of verses on this one. Matthew 18:11. They leave out completely, Westcott and Hort does, RSV, Revised Standard does. New American Standard puts it in brackets with a footnote against it. Might as well say they doubt it and question it. Might as well say they're satanic and ask the question. Hey, hath God said? As long as they put it in the footnote, as far as I'm concerned, they might as well wipe it out. They put enough doubt in the minds of young Christians and older Christians that it's not genuine if they put it in the footnote. NIV completely wipes it out. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now that's the salvation of Jesus Christ through faith in him and why he came to this earth. The 15th verse, John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, and the words on me are left out. Of all four of these, West Cotton Hort Greek, Revised Standard Version of the Modernist, National Council, New American Standard Version, New International Version. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Is that a true statement? He that believeth hath everlasting life? No, he believes in Muhammad and Shinto and Buddha and all the other false isms and schisms that you wish. Believeth in me, his part in salvation only through him, omitted by these verses. Look at the 16th verse, Romans 1:16. And this is in the Spanish Bible, eliminated too, and Mrs. Walker knows it. I told her about it and reminded her of it. Both the 16, whatever it is, the 1549 or whatever, what is it, 1535, the old one in the Auge de Valera, they eliminated. And also the new one, 1609 or whatever. That eliminates it. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's all they say. For it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. That certainly is not. It's the gospel of Christ, yes. Not anybody. Gospel, not only just good news. But West God North, RSV, New American Standard Version, New International Version, eliminate of Christ. And the Spanish Bible that's supposed to be with the text you accept this eliminates. And that's why Mrs. Walker's got to get busy and change the Spanish Bible and conform it to the text you accept. It's in bad shape in some areas, not in all areas. It's the one she uses the closest to the text of the Septuagint. I say that. It's the closest. But there are some other areas, like this one right here, that are eliminated right back to the first Spanish Bible we have any record of. I wish I remember the date. Is it 1549 or 1649? 15, isn't it? 15 something? What is it? 1569. Good. I got it at home. I got it in my front room. The big fat thing is a replica of the original De Valera Bible. I looked that verse up, and lo and behold, not ashamed of the gospel, el evangelio, por eso es el poder de Dios. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but de Cristo, of Christ, left right out. Not even there. We have a Savior, and the only Savior that can give us eternal life. And it's the only power of God, not just the gospel. Anybody's good news. The 17th verse, 1 Corinthians 5:7. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed. Period. The West Cotton Hort, leave out the next two words, Revised Standard Version, NASB, and NIV. Sacrifice for us. The substitutionary blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is an essential doctrine that is left out by leaving out the word for us. It's not enough to say he sacrificed, that's but he died. So what? Every one of us would be lost if we didn't know that he died for us, in our place, taking our sins, bearing our sins, our guilt, and our shame. That's the doctrine, brethren and sisters. The 15th verse, Galatians 4:7. But a son, and if a son, then an heir. Period. West Cotton Hort makes a period. RSV does. NASV. NIV. If a son, an heir. No, you're not just an heir because you're a son. Galatians 4:7 says, an heir of God through Christ. This is dealing with the subject of salvation and how we become saved. It's an heir of God through Christ. Through his shed blood, through faith in him. The 19th verse, Galatians 6:15, also dealing with salvation. They eliminate the words for in Christ Jesus. They just simply say neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. All four of these. West Cotton Hort, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, International. But the difference is not a new creature just out of the blue because you're either circumcised or uncircumcised, but in Christ Jesus. That's the difference. In Christ Jesus. That's the difference. A doctrinal deviation. Colossians 1:14. Oh, they love to take that out, don't they? In whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Through his blood is left out of all four of these. West Cotton Hort, Greek, Revised Standard Version, Modernism, NASB Fundamentalism, NIV Fundamentalism, so-called. Through his blood, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's fine, but listen. That redemption is through his blood. It's taught in other verses, I know, but I want it taught in this verse too. I want it right in Colossians 1:14 without any question, ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the new book by Brother Jack Mormon, if you want to know some of the testimony on that, we have it. We told the executive committee about it. We can order it from us, but he's written an excellent book giving the documentation and the Greek manuscripts, the church by the various others, that are behind some of these verses that are dropped by Zane Hodges and Farstad and Nelson's so-called majority Greek text. This, through the blood, through his blood, is dropped, not only by the critical Westcott and Hort, but also by Zane Hodges. If you want to know why we believe it, he's got it right there, Jack Mormon. Look him up. And it's all there, the documents and so on. It's in the received text, and let's hold it. 21st verse, Hebrews 1:3. When he has, again, they leave out these words, by himself. This says, when he had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. All four of these translations, these sources, leave out by himself. The uniqueness of the Lord Jesus' sacrifice and the absolute solitariness of the one who could take away sin by himself. That doesn't mean plus baptism or plus sacraments or plus the Pope or plus masses or plus anything else. It's the Lord Jesus Christ by himself. That's a doctrine concerning the salvation of our Savior. Very important words. The 22nd verse, 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered, again, they leave out the words for us. Just suffer in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. All four of these, Westcott and Hort, Revised Standard Version, NASB, and NIV, leave out those two little words for us, meaning that it's not a substitutionary atonement, but it's just he suffered, but who for, or why, or maybe for moral influence, maybe as a martyr, maybe some other reason. No, for, in our place, instead of us, for us. Hebrews, 1 Peter, all right, now go on to the 8th doctrinal deviation, the Lord Jesus Christ and his bodily resurrection. Three verses. The first, Luke 24:12. This entire verse is eliminated by Westcott and Hort. It's eliminated by the Revised Standard Version. An NASB has a footnote doubting the verse, which you might as well say, take it out if they put enough doubt in it. The NIV doesn't have any courage enough of its convictions to leave it off. They put it in and don't put anything about it. I think that's hypocrisy. Westcott and Hort leave it out. They ought to be consistent, but they don't dare take it out. Here's what it says. Then arose Peter, ran into the sepulchre, stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid for themselves, departed and wondering in himself of that which has come to pass. That's the bodily resurrection of our Savior. And these versions have taken it out, except the NIV. Why? I don't know. As I say, I think they lack the courage. What would the saints say if they took that verse off? Might as well. The rest of them are treated with anything but kid gloves. Luke 24:40, verse number 24. Again, three of these, take it out. NASB here doesn't even just start it with a footnote. The Revised Standard and Westcott and Hort. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. The bodily resurrection, proof, taken out by the apostate doctrine. Another verse, number 25, Acts 2:30. And of the fruit of his loins, they leave out these words, all four of them, according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. All they say is from the fruit of his loins or something to that effect, to sit on his throne. Westcott and Hort, Revised Standard, and ASV, NIV. This is the resurrection. According to the flesh he would raise up Christ. Bodily resurrection. Doctrine that's left out in this verse by all four of these references. The 9th doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ and his bodily ascension. Luke 24:51. As printed in Letus's book, Majority Text, pages 199-200, Eldon J.F. has written that the above five references are the only references in the New Testament to the bodily resurrection of Christ. And if a certain group of Western witnesses were to be taken out as true at these points, we would lose the bodily resurrection of Christ completely. Notice those, Luke 24:51, Mark 16:9-20, Acts 1:2, and 1:9, and 1:11b. Those are the only references to the bodily resurrection, specifically. And if you follow a certain text, all of them would go. Take a look at this verse, 24:51, and it came to pass when he blessed them, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and these words are out in Westcott and Hort. RSV has a footnote doubting the phrase. The New American Standard Version just drops them out completely, and the NIV hypocritically leaves them in. I guess they didn't want the fundamentalists to scream too much. And the words, and carried up into heaven, that's the bodily ascension of our Savior. And it is doubted in these versions that we point out here. 27th verse, John 16:16, and a little while, and ye shall see me. Period. All four of them leave out the words, because I go to the Father. There's a reference to the resurrection, the ascension, the bodily ascension of our Savior. I go to the Father. The 10th doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ and his great commission. Mark 16:15. All 12 verses are taken out. Let me notice here, Westcott and Hort put double brackets doubting them. RSV doubts these verses by comment. The NASV puts brackets of doubt and denies by footnote. The New International Version sets them off in black lines and divides them by footnote. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the doctrine of the Great Commission that's doubted and taken out or otherwise questioned by these versions. 11th doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiveness to the adulterers. His forgiveness to the adulterers. John 7:53-8:11. Here's the way they work on that. Westcott and Hort puts them in double brackets in the text. First, he rejects them. RSV doubts it in the footnote. NASV puts them in brackets and denies it in the footnote. New International Version sets it off with black lines and denies it in the footnote. You might say they all of them deny it or doubt it, but they're too chicken to leave it out completely. That's what I call them. They're cowards. They're hypocrites. If they don't believe it's in their Greek text, leave it out so the Christians can see what these fellows are about. See, that's my feeling. Be honest about it. Right out into the open. Don't just put these little footnotes and double brackets and doubts and everything else. They don't believe it's genuine. I believe it's genuine. It's in Bible. And there's only one Bible. That's the King James Bible. And I prefer to use all the others with a V and not a B. New American Standard Version. American Standard Version. New International Version. King James Bible. And we've gotten so much in the KJV, the version issue, it's the Bible. And I always, when I speak, I always abbreviate it KJV because nobody knows what it meant by KJV, I guess. But maybe we ought to start a trend. But whenever I speak it, it's never King James Version at all. Always King James Bible. It's the only Bible we have. I refer to the King James or Authorized Version. There again, version. Authorized Bible. I don't like the AV. Let's go AV, but they wouldn't understand it. Who counted the woman taken in adultery? The 12th doctrine, the Lord Jesus teaching on hellfire. We look at these verses. Mark 9:44, where their worm dieth not, their fire is not quenched. All of them, take them right out. Mark 9:46, where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, the fires of hell. Taken out. Two verses. All four of them. 2 Peter 2:17, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved. Period. But the word forever is taken out by all four of these modern versions or Greek translations. The eternality of the suffering in hell. The foreverness of eternal punishment. Mark 6:11, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. All four of these references, take them up. Not even a fear. Absolutely gone. Judgment. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him, all four of these verses take off those next three words, should not perish. Nothing about perishing. Just through the brave, whosoever believeth may have everlasting eternal life. The perishing speaks of hell. They don't want the hell. They don't want the eternal fire. That's the doctrine. 13th doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ is use of the word of God. In Luke 4:4, dealing with the devil, Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Period. All four of them end right there. The Lord Jesus did not stop there, but by every word of God. Again, the Lord Jesus' use of the word of God deviated from, deleted, and doubted by these new versions. 14th and final doctrine and its deviation, the Lord Jesus referenced the Old Testament prophecy. Four verses on this, the 36th verse is Luke 11:29. There shall be no sign to be given but the sign of Jonas, period. The Lord Jesus says the prophet. All four of these other versions leave it out. The prophet. What was a prophet? A lot of people doubt that these days, the modernists and others. But he was a prophet. And they deny that doctrine of his reference to Old Testament prophecy and prophets. The 37th verse, Mark 15:28. Entirely absent from all four of these. Westcott and Hort, Greek, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard Version, New International Version. And the scripture was fulfilled which says he was numbered with the transgressors. You look at the Old Testament where this verse appears, and you look for fulfillment in these new Bibles, these new versions, it's not there. No fulfillment. It's gone. The whole verse taken out. 38th verse, doctrinal deviation, Mark 13:14. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, and leave out these next words. Just simply standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let not him that be in the Judea flee to the mountain. Let him that beeth in Judea flee to the mountain. All four of these versions take out the words spoken of by Daniel, the prophet. They don't want to say the prophecy of Daniel is prophetic at all. They want to say it's history after the fact. But the Lord Jesus is speaking of Daniel, the prophet. His reference to Old Testament prophecy is a doctrine. And they eliminate it, take it off. The 39th and final on prophets and prophecy, Matthew 27:35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. All the rest of those words are eliminated by Westcott and Hort, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard Version, New International Version, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. Upon my vesture did they cast lots. Only in our King James Bibles do we have a fulfillment of this prophecy. As you look in the Old Testament, the prophetic event, you look for fulfillment in these Bibles, in these versions, it's gone. Doctrines are left out. Never let it be said that the new versions have no problem as far as doctrines are concerned. Never let it be said with D.A. Carson that the doctrines that may be touched are not really of any importance. Let it not be said that they're quite trivial and wholly devoid of theological significance. I present to you, my brethren and sisters in Christ, that his deity is not a doctrine of no significance or insignificant doctrine. His titles, his virgin birth, his omnipresence, his eternal future, his creation, his salvation, his bodily resurrection, his bodily ascension, his great commission, his forgiveness of an adulteress, his teaching on hellfire, his use of the Word of God and his reference to fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. Those, my friends, are not doctrines that are of no consequence and doctrines that, as he says, are theological, just wholly devoid of theological significance or that they are trivial. I hope that you can answer people such as D.A. Carson and others who say that really we don't have to worry. Give me an unleavened Bible. Give me our received text, the New Testament, our Masoretic of the Old, and the King James Bible, translated with, as it says in 1 Corinthians, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.